You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast, and this is our review of The First Omen.
We're doing the one with Richard Donner, I didn't look at that movie. I thought we were doing the prequel.
I thought we've already done that one. I don't know.
You no trouble. Me, Fifth Element. Supreme being.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are cute. Sound off like you got a bear.
Yes, I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your body?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
Hail Satan.
Satan lives. The year is won.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Welcome to the podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your hosts. I am editor Brian Elkins. With me here tonight, cinematographer Jared Kellen.
How you doing, Brian?
I'm good. I got a vagina-shaped scar in the back of my head that a rod hit. But, you know, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. And we also have with us costume designer Kristen Jones.
Hello, hello.
I love vagina horror. Yeah, yeah. Let's just jump right in.
Yeah, there's a lot of vagina horror, right?
Oh, yeah.
Best prosthetic vagina on screen? Can we just go with that?
I think men has that beat, but because there's so many types of vagina horror in that film.
Yeah, but that's men coming out of other men. And that men birthing other men through their mouths at the end of that movie. Is that what we're talking about?
No. There were vaginas.
Were there vaginas in that?
Yes.
I remember a lot of vagina. Okay. All right. I have to go back. Yeah. And, I'm never going to go back and rewatch that.
No. That's right. Not worth revisiting. Yeah. Been there. Done that.
If you've forgotten it, you're doing great.
Some time has passed. I see.
Yeah. I think the only thing I do remember that movie is the end. This one, though, I swear that this is also going to stick with me. You know, demon hand reaching out from vagina. Oh.
I thought that was great, actually.
Really?
I was like, oh, that looks kind of cool.
So that's what childbirth is like.
All the documentaries have gotten it wrong so far. This is clearly what's going on.
No, the baby just reaches out, you know? And goes, hey, Mom, I'm here.
Hey, Mom, I'm coming out the wrong way.
I think it would be so much nicer, honestly. Childbirth doesn't have to be this struggle, this fight. Like, you can just coexist with your demon baby.
Yeah, especially if the baby's helping out, you know? She's, like, sticking her hands out and pulling herself out or whatever.
Yeah. It's all good. I mean, she was laughing, so it couldn't have been that bad.
Dude. Some good drugs.
I don't know. Yeah, I was like, I don't know what drugs she's on, but she needs to share.
Those epidurals in the 70s were fucking crazy.
I think it was some kind of gas. They gassed her.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did. Yeah.
Later on, when they were doing the other girl, they injected her with some green goo. But
yeah, I don't want that one. The gas is what I want.
Yeah, the first girl got the gas, the good gas. The laughing gas, if it were.
Laughing gas, yes.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
I was going to say, can we just talk about how, like, strong this film opens?
Oh, just how strong the movie, I was going to say the whole movie's strong, but okay, but listen, we can talk about the open.
No, man, it's just really nice, because if you've seen the other films, you're going in on this going, okay, this is going to suck, you know? Because most of the times prequels kind of suck, you know? And so, but...
True.
I got such a rush after that opening scene... Man, yeah. But we'll talk about, you know, the parallelism between that one and the first one. But, you know, beautiful slow motion shot. And I love a creepy smile, you know. And who's that actor, man? He's been in so many movies.
Charles Dance. Wait, you're talking about the one that got... The one that dies?
The guy who gets the pipe in the back of his head.
Yeah, that's Charles Dance from Last Action Hero.
Is he the same guy from... Yeah. I've just killed a man in cold blood.
And Game of Thrones and some other modern stuff, but you know.
Yeah.
Last Action Hero.
Oh, Last Action Hero, exactly. You can get away with anything here.
Shut up down there. Oh, yeah. No, he was great. It was nice seeing him... You know, like him and that actor from the Witch. I forget what his name is. Ralph. He's got some very Irish last name.
Heavy voice. You know, really kind of hard to understand a little bit. But man, Ralph Ineson.
Yeah, there you go. From the Witch.
Father Brennan. Father Brennan from the first, not the first Omen, but the Omen, right?
Yeah. That's okay. The priest that comes in and. What does he say to Gregory Peck? You gotta accept the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, he gives him that whole speech.
Yeah. You know, he's like, yeah, drink his blood. Ask for his forgiveness every day.
So I guess, yeah, it's nice seeing his, like, origin story. And he dies in a, you know, similar way. He gets, like, what is it, impaled by a church steeple or something? Oh, yeah. There you go.
It's like a flagpole or, like, a lightning rod or something on the top of the church in a very windy day.
And this one, you know, I like the callback, you know, because the way they set it up, and I always love the, you know, the Omen movies, you know, they always have like this nice, all their kill sequences are very like Final Destination, you know?
Yeah.
It's an evil force. We don't really see what's going on.
An act of God, if you will.
An act of Satan. And it was nice, like, because I kept thinking, it's like, oh, the minute the glass breaks, it's like, oh, he's going to get cut by all the glass. And then the glass just falls around him. And then that pole hits, and you think it just misses everybody. It's such a good reveal when he walks away, and he's missing half his fucking brain. Oh, so nice. This movie does that. It sets you up to expect one thing, and then it gives you a little something extra. It's like, yeah, look, we set this up. We know the audience is smart enough to go along with us to connect the dots out, figure this stuff out. But then we're going to put a little icing on the cake over here, give you a little surprise, even if you saw the first movie. Because there's a lot of, I guess all their kills are kind of callbacks from the first one.
What do you think about that? Kristen, did you see The Omen?
Yeah, but it's been years. I was actually wondering that. I did not think that I saw it until I watched this movie. And a lot of the kills are callbacks. I was like, oh, wait, maybe I have actually seen this.
Now, I mean, what do you think about that, Brian, that they replicated? You think that the demon, or excuse me, I guess it's not a demon, it's actually the devil in this, but the devil kills everybody in the same way, kind of, you know? He's, if you're a priest, you're going to get a rod thrown through you. You know, if you're...
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, if you're a girl around the demon, around the devil child, then you've got to hang yourself.
Well, I mean, I kind of like that, yeah, you know, because, again, even that one, it's not just like, oh, it's all for you, Damien, and jump, you know, this time we're going to say it's all for you, light ourselves on fire, then jump, and go through a window, you know, so they're adding something to it. I just wish that hadn't been in the trailer.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. I was lucky I didn't watch the trailer before this, but I watched afterwards, like, yeah, they really do give that away, and that's such a great moment. Unlike in the first Omen...
Wait, which one?
The OG Omen.
Oh, okay.
That scene kind of pops out of nowhere, right? It's like the first time we see any violence in the movie. And, you know, we're happy-go-lucky family type stuff, and then, boom, there's a lady, you know, hanging herself off the balcony. And this one, there's a nice build to it, you know? So it's like we've already had so much, like, fucked up shit going, and so it's a really strong moment because of that. And I think that's also because you know it's coming at that point. You're like, oh, shit. There's a piece of rail missing there. She's going to jump, you know.
The minute I saw her hair wet in the movie, I knew she was going to light herself on fire because I saw the fucking trailer. I wish that hadn't been spoiled for me because I think that would have been a really good surprise, you know?
Oh, I didn't see the trailer, and that was a really great surprise.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. I was very confused. I was like, did she just get out of the bath? Like, is she like, what's going on?
Yeah, see, I think I would have had that reaction too. Oh, I'm with Griggs this week, you know? really wish I hadn't have seen the trailer.
Yeah, just don't watch the trailer.
I mean, you can watch the trailer just after you see the movie.
I love all the tone that they set up right before that. Just even the nuns sitting around having a conversation about the milkman or the postman or whatever, it just feels creepy. You know, they're just having a standard conversation, but they all look so creepy. They're smoking. They're peeling potatoes.
There's nothing creepy about any of that.
It is, but I don't know why it's creepy, though. I don't know why it's unnerving feeling or feels
tense.
Oh,
I actually really liked it, and it showed how normal and these people are and how they have, a really happy life, and that this stuff happening is not normal.
Right.
It made all the actually creepy stuff creepier because they're just sitting around, peeling potatoes and smoking and let's go
ashing
out
into the mashed potatoes.
Oh my god,
it happens. You can't taste it.
No, it all gets blended together. It doesn't matter.
Ashes to ashes, cigarettes to ashes.
Plus,
well,
didn't we learn that ashes are good for your food or something last week? I don't.
Well, you know,
remember.
A lot of people do mix carbon into their foods. There's different steak rubs and stuff that have activated carbon in it. It's good for cleansing your body.
Don't hate on the nuns, Jared.
No, man, no. It's all natural. I get it.
It's all natural.
Don't they rub don't they rub ashes on your forehead on during certain times? Yeah. But this time
yes.
It's cigarette ash.
Yeah. What was that? That's that Fallout show, right? Where they're wiping something on their head, and they're like, oh yeah, this is ashes of the ever dead loved ones.
Ashes of our dead loved ones. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I don't know. Yeah, okay. This is a different conversation. I was going to say, I don't know if it's horrifying, if it's a ritual kind of thing that you've been doing for thousands of years. Because then it's they're trying to honor them, right? I don't know. But that's not what's happening here, so.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the rituals. Oh, my. Guys, I had never seen a fucking nun, become a nun. I'd never seen, nun graduation in my life. Holy shit. It is fucking terrifying.
Do you think that's the way it is? You're
getting
married to God?
To the church, yeah.
That's creepy.
With the ring and everything.
It's creepy as fuck.
I don't... Okay. I thought it was beautiful.
You're like, oh, I could be a nun.
I always... I could. I always thought, I was raised Catholic, and so that was the thing I always said was, I absolutely love, the rituals and all of that, but, the rest of it, I don't know. But, the rituals, I was, there for. I love, all of the outfits. I love all of, and so, I mean, it makes sense. I'm a costume designer. I love everything about all of it. And so, seeing it on screen, I was like, this is so beautiful. It's so sweet. I did not get creepy vibes at all.
Oh, I got nothing but creepy vibes.
Was it hammed up, do you think, for the film, or is that how it is?
I have no idea because I have not become a nun.
Hmm.
Oh, really?
Surprising. Yeah. I know. I'm also shocked by this. But also, I think we have to take into account that even if I was, there's a huge difference not a huge difference, but there's a difference between Catholic churches in the U.S. and Catholic churches in Rome, you know?
Mm.
I love that they actually said it in Rome for that reason. I don't know if that's the reason, but I think it kind of was.
Well, I think it also helps that, that's where, Gregory Peck gets the baby in the first movie. So they have to end up in Rome somehow.
He can end up in Rome for so many reasons.
I guess that's...
They end up going to England, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where it all goes down.
Yeah, but he's an ambassador in Italy at the time or something.
Right.
That's how that worked out. But I don't know. The way that the whole marriage to God, the way they shoot that, it is disturbing. The close-ups on the hand and the close-up when they're putting the ring on her finger and then the reaction of people around it, that was fucking bizarre. And then we're putting the habit on. Yeah. Holy crap.
Oh, jerking so hard.
Yeah.
All those cross-cuts of the other girl going down and finding the, isn't that when she goes down and she finds the hidden lair and she finds all the files and the place where they've been doing all these tests. Squeezing the habit onto your face, letting you know that, this is a constricting thing. We're going to we're taking all of your, and then they cut her hair for some reason. Did they give you a bob cut and then you just let your hair grow forever from then on? It just keeps growing.
Maybe
long,
they
long?
cut Oh, I actually, that's a good question. I don't know. Maybe they cut her hair. Maybe it was like symbolic, like this is your new life, and because your hair obviously stays with you, and you know, there are people who say it holds memories or something like that. I don't know, but like whenever someone has a breakdown and cuts their hair, everyone's always like, "Oh yeah, that makes sense." Because and then they say weird things about hair. So maybe that's why they cut her hair.
Well, they've got a drug test coming. Yeah.
Yeah, or a drug test. One of the two. But I thought, I actually thought there was no need for them to like jerk her face into her.
Oh, dude, yeah.
I was like, what are you doing? Do you hate her?
Oh, it's just, it was also terrifying. Oh my God.
I think it's just part of it, just how severe this is. And then when they all like lie down on the ground, like upside down crosses and like pray on the ground.
Oh, the like whisper
I
praying.
I like that
too. Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
He's with me. I was like, oh my God, dude, what the hell? This is not religion. This is a cult.
Brian and I went and saw this, and afterwards he made a really interesting remark. He was like, man, it's very interesting to watch something that's Catholic like this, and they're praying and they're like prayers we've never heard before, at least I've never heard before, and you know, it makes it like deeper. You know, it's not like Our Father who art in heaven, like see, like just like an Exorcist at the beginning, it seemed like that's the only fucking prayer that we knew was the Our Father, you know, and we just keep hearing it over and over and over.
There's like books of prayers.
I know, but you don't see them in films though.
Yeah, well that's because the people making them aren't Catholic. I will say that I was really surprised that the girl, when she there was a one set of prayers that I was like, I don't know if that's right, where she's just like, I'm a good person. Oh, it's not a prayer, of course, because it has to do with her whole background of like, yeah. So she, I was like, these sound like affirmations, not necessarily prayers. And I know there's some overlap you could argue, but no, okay, now it makes sense with the rest of her history. They probably are like prayers of affirmation.
She's like, I'm okay.
Yeah,
okay.
She's like I'm a good person. I need to be
I'm
here.
I'm going to do this. You know,
I was like, that's not a prayer.
I don't know, man. When they throw her into the bad room and she gets down on the thing and she's like starts to pray, and then that, and then like it feels like the room is way deeper, and in the darkness, like the girl who had like burned herself is like writhing and coming up. Oh, it's so fucking
good. Cool.
Oh, it's so fucking great.
That is good. They do a bunch of good stuff like that too. And then, when she moves in to her new apartment with that roommate, and she sees her habit that she puts up in the corner, and then
she's hanging up the habit, bro.
Yeah. She's over there doing one of her prayers that I've never heard before. She looks over the. It's a good jump scare where you see the old
nun. It
makes
that noise for some reason. Like, why? What is that? Like, what is that? Like, is that just she's like she's? It's it like this movie reminds me a lot of Jacob's Ladder. You ever seen Jacob's Ladder, Kristen?
I don't think so.
I don't want to ruin it, but like basically these demons are kind of like following this guy, and he keeps seeing these things, and there's even like. A couple of shots lifted straight out of Jacob's Ladder, like the gurney shot looking up, and then like the weird, like when they're dancing, like the tongue coming across the face and all that's very Jacob's Ladder.
Yeah, that is very Jacob's Ladder. Yeah, right.
That sounds cool. It sounds like a good movie.
It's a great, it's Tim Robbins' best performance ever.
Oh.
Well, except for Shawshank. Second only to Shawshank. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wait. You just throwing a Hudsucker proxy?
All of them.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. All right. Fuck it. Oof, I'm telling you. No. All of them.
I did like I liked these flashbacks though, because like they didn't make sense really to me while I was watching the movie, but the movie answers it later. But I liked seeing like the Catholic Church, like seeing the nun and seeing things that are normally supposed to be holy in these nightmare scenarios, not just all this demonic imagery that we see in, you know, like so it's
just
felt
priests
fresh.
And nuns staring at you, you know, just through the crowd, just these dark scary people in robes.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. And I love the whole, like, there is an evil part of the church that, like, wants to control people and bring them back. And how are they going to do it? By birthing the Antichrist.
Okay.
And then we'll...
Hold on, because here's what I... Listen, my only complaint with the movie... right, do the ends justify the means? My only complaint with this movie is the writing on this, because when he said, oh, the evil is secularism and we have to bring the Antichrist in to bring people back to the church, I wanted to walk out. I was like,
really?
Are you serious? That is the dumbest thing I've... You could have said, we don't know why they're doing it, and I would have still been there with you. But when you were like,
no,
this
man,
is
I
the evil,
I
liked
it as well.
What?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
I thought that was so dumb.
Why'd you think it was dumb?
Like, Because you're bringing evil into the world because people are happy living their lives. Give me a break. No, no.
Well, no. Okay, so that's not what the movie shows us, though. The movie doesn't show us people happy living their life. The movie shows us every time they step out of this little convent area or whatever orphanage area.
Fucking riots.
Yeah.
There's riots. Yeah, but there's riots because of other reasons, not because of...
But yeah,
not going to church.
Well, was Bill Nye? He's supposed to be like a fucking cardinal or something. I forget what his title was. But yeah, he even says like, oh well, you know, most of these protests, it's for this reason, but these students are joining it just to cause, you know, like fucking anarchy or some shit like that.
Yeah, he says I forget why he says they were protesting, but then he's like tacks on, and sometimes they're protesting the church. Like, okay, like. I feel like you could have done so much better with that. You could have even just been like, yes, the Catholic, there's an evil sector of the Catholic Church that has always tried to do stuff like this. That would have been fine. We don't need a reason. I just thought the reason was dumb, but okay, you guys liked it, I guess. Maybe it's,
you know,
it's
yeah.
still dumb. I'm sorry. I hate it. I thought that was so dumb. I wanted to like scrap. Like it took a minute for the movie to regain my trust after that.
You're like, wait, what? You think you could control the Antichrist? What?
Well, no, I mean, that's a good point. I wasn't thinking that, but that you could do that too. You want to bring the Antichrist in and release it on the world, assuming you believe what you say you're there to believe, right? You want to bring the ultimate evil in, right? To make people go back to church? I just think that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
If these people believe in the Bible, though, right? So, like, we've all seen, everybody knows Left Behind, right? So, like, the end of times,
hold
right?
On.
So you would all ascend into heaven if you believe.
I don't think that's Catholic, right?
That is not Catholic belief at all. They do not take the Bible literally. They don't believe any of that. No.
What are we talking about? This is the Omen.
Yes.
This is about the Antichrist. That's for, I
Evangelicals
know.
Are very different from Catholics.
We talked about this on the first Omen podcast, like Catholic imagery, but they are taken straight up from the Book of Revelations. The first Omen is even quoting the Book of Revelation.
Yeah, because that's not Catholic belief. So what we're talking about here is Catholic imagery with Protestant, which goes back to my earlier point. A lot of these movies are not written by Catholics. Okay, as long as we're on the same page here, this is not a Catholic movie.
So, I mean, like, I don't know.
Which is, again, as soon as they said it, I was like, what are you talking about?
Well, regardless of if the Antichrist comes, I'm assuming, like, even if you're Catholic and if there is a section where, like, the end of times is there, right? And do they even have the Antichrist? Is the Antichrist even...
Yeah, that's actually not, like, a huge Catholic belief, no. And you know, you also have the whole belief that, like, you know, like, when you die, you go to purgatory because you have to have your sins weighed and, you know, you have to... There's a whole thing that Protestants don't do.
Okay, so, like, I'm not taking reality. I'm taking what the Omen franchise... has sold
okay, thank
me
you.
Over the years.
That's fine.
Because that's what this
I'm
is.
I'm not as familiar with it. Okay, okay. So that explains why you guys were on board, and I was like, what? This is wrong. Okay, all right. It's still wrong, but okay. I understand why you support it now.
Well, yeah, whatever. I mean, you know.
I was just like, wow, they're actually like giving way more weight to it instead of that the boy was born from a jackal. And then, you know, and in the first Omen, they go and dig up the grave of its mother, and it is a dog in the grave. But in this one, the mother is a person, but who has been raped by a hell demon dog, which, where did the church find this massive hell demon dog?
They keep it in case of emergency.
No, that's supposed to be the devil. That's not a hell demon dog. That is the devil.
Is
that not just
it?
A jackal? Like, how
no.
do you summon the devil?
I don't know.
Through, like, witchcraft, right?
Then why is the devil burning at the end? Like, is it chained up?
The devil is always hanging? Burning, bro. He lives in hell.
The devil's just always...
Yeah, right?
Well, he wasn't burning when he was raping her, bro, rubbing his big slimy hands all over her.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's got to be the devil because they said the devil has...
The close-up of his devil dick.
The devil has to, like, have incest. It has to lie with one of its own, with one of these, like, I don't know, satanic being things that the church has raised. I guess they're not the Antichrist. They're just devil children.
Yeah, because also in the OG Omen, like one of the priests that approaches the other priest, he has the mark of the beast on him. Not just the Antichrist has the mark of the beast. Anybody who's like, you know, born into this thing apparently can get it.
I think that's interesting because I also think it's interesting where they have that. There's like a scene where they say like, you know, you're not evil. You're doing like really good things here. And so, yeah, if that's the underlying thought, then yeah, you can have the mark of the devil for good, right?
I don't know.
Now we're, that's the whole argument of the movie.
Well, now we're getting into the end, and I'm not 100% sure what the... That's the only part of the movie I really hated or disliked. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that was confusing.
I was on board up until the last 20 minutes.
Actually, the last scene I was on board with until the last scene. But I mean, to go back to the jackal baby real quick, or the jackal mom from the first movie, I think having the church involved... Raising a woman, creating a woman, right? Then raising her in the church, and then having the devil rape her, impregnate her, spit out the Antichrist. I could see why the church would like cover that up. And then they would like, you know, like put the jackal body in the grave.
Just makes sense.
You know, like, yeah. You know, that way if anybody ever comes looking to kill the Antichrist, it's like, you know, look, it was all this devil shit, man. Wasn't us. We're good old Christian people over here. We love Catholicism and everything.
Gregory Peck's son, they took a hammer to his skull and threw him in a different grave, you know. Yeah, they're good people. Yeah.
They didn't do that in this one, though.
They did not.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't think they explained why his baby disappears or died in childbirth.
I don't think it did die. Like, in the first movie, they made it clear that, like, the baby was born, and then they were like, what?
Well, there was, I mean, technically, wait, I don't know if this is real or if I just saw it in a movie, like multiple movies, so I'm assuming it's based on some sort of fact. But, like, wasn't, like, because the Catholic Church was, years ago, allegedly, didn't they, like, run the hospitals and the orphanages, and there were, like, a lot of mix-ups, and, like, they were argued, so you could argue that it was on purpose, and so maybe that's what happened here, and his kid didn't die, they just gave it away and to somebody of their family, like they did exactly with this, the demon child, right? So that's real, right, Jared?
Yeah, it's real, but I'm just thinking of it in context with this, because I know the first Omen. And in that one, they actually, you know, open up his son's grave and, you know, the baby has a giant hole in his head. And he's like, they killed him! Oh, okay. They killed him! Just
that's a pretty good Gregory Peck.
Over the top acting.
Holy shit. We need to do To Kill a Mockingbird and Moby Dick now.
Oh, I'm down. Let's do them.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked the evil sect of the church. I thought that fixed a lot of the inconsistencies.
On my second watch, I realized, do you remember the really cool 360 shot in the car when they're driving through the protesters? It's like one of our first like kind of fakey kind of jump scares when a guy like hits the car and the girl jumps, and then it starts this like pan where it does a three. It's kind of like in Children of Men. It goes all the way around inside the car. And during that like pan, the cardinal tells her, he's like something like, perhaps you'll play your part and earn the people's trust. The little foreshadowing there in dialogue, which is really cool.
Man, to be honest, when I was watching, I didn't hear a fucking word anybody said. I was just like, oh, look at this shot. Oh, my God. I think I even looked over at you. I was like, dude, look at this. Yeah. What the fuck are they doing?
Yeah.
This shit's crazy. I was losing my mind.
That's when the movie hasn't really gotten me completely at this point. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Yeah, I'm enjoying this. This is nice.
I was like, these ballsy motherfuckers. Look at the balls on these bitches. Damn. Was directed by a woman, too.
I did think it was well directed, actually.
Yeah. I'm telling you, women been knocking it out with these horror films. All horror prequels or legacy sequels need to be directed by women now. Mm. This and Candyman, man. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Exorcist.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Like, this was so
David
much
Gordon
better.
Groan.
I know, right? Like, ugh. Look, this is how you make one of these, right? This is how you do it.
Yeah.
I think, you would be the horror expert, so you can tell me if I'm off base here. But I think one of the biggest differences that I'm noticing with these women-directed movies is they can make it so much creepier because they actually know women and women's bodies as opposed to just like looking at them and appreciating them. And so they can sit there and make it extra fucking creepy because they've had those thoughts. They know what's going on. And like, there's so much in this that I was able to appreciate on a whole new level. It did not feel necessarily like exploitative. Like, I think, you know, it didn't feel like objectifying at all. Like even like the childbirth scenes, I was like, this is kind of cool. because I think you had that point of view. And that's something that I kind of feel has been missing a little bit.
I love in the childbirthing scene, how they give you glimpses. It's kind of like Rosemary's Baby where, you know, they just, you know, you're kind of leaning your head a little bit. You're like, and then boom, they give you the shot, you know. They give you the head on. You're like, holy shit, they did it. Like, it's such a great build. They just don't cut right in for the money shot. You know, they have such a great build, and then they're cutting back to her and like running around the sides and looking at all the different windows. It's just done so fucking well. And that builds so well.
Yeah, I was reading, the only interview I was able to find with the director was from Fangoria. And they were talking about, like, she was saying that they had to cut the childbirth scene down because they got an NC-17. And she had to fight it like some ridiculous amount of times. And then by the time they ended up cutting down the big vagina reveal shot at the end, she said like it actually made it so much worse because it was more like it just went right to the impact and it catches people off guard as opposed to being able to sit on it for a little bit.
Yeah.
She's like, the MPA just made it worse.
No, but it's good because it's kind of like that burst. It kind of like leads up to her like blacking out so much. It's a good pop. If we were living in it too much, I think it would have been, it's, you know, you need to know when to cut away. And yeah. I think it was done expertly.
Yeah, I feel that way about the whole movie. Like, this movie should not have had this much love and care put into it, really, you know?
Yeah, actually, yes, this movie had a lot of love and care put into it in a very fucked up way. I thought I was really impressed by it, actually.
I think the only other Omen movie outside of the first one I would say is, well, I would recommend to people would be the second one, you know? And all the rest of the sequels are kind of bad, and the remake's bad. This was just after the first 15 minutes. It's like, oh, okay, this is somebody that actually has some passion and some love for this project, and they're going to try.
And they were going out of their way to make it feel like it was of the time. Not only in with, like, costumes and everything, it's just like how it was shot. I listened to an interview with the director, and she said that they were trying really hard to make it look like the film stock of the day, like the most famous film stock that all the major movies were shot on at the time. Like, I forget which one they said, but they like made sure that it's as good as it can be. And then even when they actually did a film print run on this as well, so it is playing in film, and they pulled all those effects off and then put it on that film stock for the run, and then they played them next to each other, and they said it's as close as you can get without actually being film to have that vibe.
Man, yeah, I thought the photography was very nice.
It's gorgeous. I've seen it twice, and I saw it with Brian, and it was immaculate. It was beautiful, not like the other film Immaculate that's a ripoff of this. But I've also seen a print of this that was really, really bad. I don't know why. It could have been just the projector or something, but it was washed out. The bad framing, headroom, everything was just terrible. I don't know what the deal with that print was.
What theater was that?
That was at the Malco Paradiso Theater 6.
Theater 6. Well, we saw it in Theater 4, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Ooh, all right. I'll stay away from 6. Note to self.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just like talk to somebody there. They might be able to fix that.
I'll be like, excuse me, this looks like ass.
No, but if they're projecting it incorrectly, yes, that's, yes, they want to know that.
You don't get up out of the movie.
As opposed to somebody going, actually, you know what, I used to work in a movie theater, and I literally had somebody call me from inside the movie theater and be like, excuse me, can I speak to the manager?
Oh, no way.
This is wrong.
That is fucking people awesome.
Do that. I don't want to get people up and miss something, you know?
No, because so what happens is they'll restart. Yes, they do. They restart the movie. Haven't you worked in a movie theater? Yes.
No.
Well, if something was wrong.
It messes up the whole schedule. They can't do that.
Well, Brian, we know you did not have issues, but.
No, I was working with 35 millimeter film. You couldn't rewind
it. I thought you were going to say that you never had problems.
My
theaters
my
were
screenings
perfect.
Were perfect. Yeah, exactly. My screenings were perfect. Everything was matted appropriately.
I will say all of my fucking, yes, everything I've ever projected was matted correctly. You know why? Because I know how to fucking read. It's not that hard. There's only two settings, flat, scope.
No, there's way more settings. Now we have, 2:1 and 1.7 and 1.85.
You can't, fill a screen with that, though. There's only two lenses.
They bring in the curtain at the top.
There's no curtain at the top. What curtain at the top?
I don't know, man.
There's no curtain.
Close it down somehow.
There's no curtain at the top. There's curtains on the side. That's how they close them. But they don't even do that now. Go look at the Malcos now. How many fucking ones even have curtains on the side anymore? They don't. That's a dead thing now. How many theaters have you been to where they'll just fucking project bars on the screen like this? Yeah. A goddamn television, and you're like, you slack-ass motherfuckers. Who the fuck let this shit go? Fucking amateur hour all over this place.
but when you and I saw this movie, Brian, I even remarked, ooh, this aspect ratio feels a little, tall. And it filled the frame, and I was like, okay, and I looked it up, and it's supposed to be 1.85. But when I saw it again, it was narrower. They were cropping the top of the frame. You were missing people's heads and stuff. It's just bad.
Yeah, I don't even know what they're doing. I don't even know how you do that with 1.85. Unless you don't... I mean, you'd have to not put the mat on it at all. You just fucking full open. And you're just like, yeah, fuck it. Arr.
I don't think people care because people don't recognize shit like that except for me, Something's off here.
That's how you like
this looks washed out.
Some people would go see movies in theaters back in the day and be like, oh, there was a boom in the shot. And the other people would be like, well, I saw that movie. There was no boom in the shot. And then, you'd watch it on VHS and there's no boom in the shot. That's because the projectionist fucking didn't put the goddamn mat on. So
it's only happened to me once. It was an Ashley Judd movie, and I was a teenager, and the whole movie had booms in it, and I was like, what is going on? I did what the absolute fuck is happening? It's just so funny. There's a boom mic hanging, just floating in every single shot.
You're just like, man, they had no budget for this. Nobody was looking at the monitor. Sound guys like, this is gonna sound great.
It was actually really funny after a while. It was comical because, you'd see the boom just float around.
Yeah, what's it? This is the comedy where they do that on purpose. It's pretty good. Black Dynamite.
Oh, Black Dynamite. They drop the boom. Yeah. It's so perfect.
That's pretty good. It's about the time. We're going to take a break here real quick. We're going to watch a trailer for The First Omen. Not the one with Gregory Peck. The new one. The prequel from 2024. We'll be back.
You don't have to be afraid. God has great plans for you. This child is his way.
There's this girl at the orphanage. I think that she really needs someone to look out for her.
Carlito suffers from a touch of madness.
You must be very careful, Margaret. Bad things will start to happen around her. Evil things.
It's all for you. No, don't. What does any of this have to do with Carlito?
Church has maintained power for thousands of years. They will stop at nothing to keep it that way. How do you control people who no longer believe? You create something to fear. I believe the girl is to be the mother.
Mother of what?
It's the mark of the devil.
Hey! It's not real. It's not real. It's not real. It's not real. It's not real.
What's not real?
Who said that?
This is very real.
All right, we're back. That is the trailer for The First Omen. What a good fucking spooky trailer. Ooh.
Perfect trailer. Let's go watch it again.
Oh, that was great. Going back to our earlier conversation, watching this trailer did remind me. her roommate, Margaret's roommate, our main character, when she gets into Rome, she's got that roommate, takes her club in and everything. Going back to the church being in on it, she has this wonderful line, man, and I don't know how really to take it, but she says the reason that she decided to become a nun is because she could hear God tell her and talk to her. Now, does she think she's actually talking to God, right? Or is this actually something satanic? Is she actually talking to the devil? You know what I mean? Is that like a spiritual thing where like...
I know highly Christian people who talk to God regularly. Yeah, and they say that God tells them things. And that God told me that I needed to do this.
Yeah, but so, those people probably weren't like helping plan the Antichrist being born. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a very like normal, if you are a religious or spiritual person, that's a very normal thing. But yes, in this context, yes, you could argue perhaps that the devil was confusing her and wanted her to go there but you could also argue that God wanted her to go there and bring the Antichrist into the world so that people could go back to church, you know?
Like, I don't think he could because of
the whole movie's thing.
Margaret gets away at the end, you know, and
so but there is there's a line at the end or in the middle where, you know, he says you have to create something for people to fear. And I really loved that, and I felt like they should have leaned into that. That would have been so much more interesting. And but like,
that's what they were doing though.
They were creating something. No, yes, they were. They were creating the Antichrist.
We know what happens, Kristen. This guy's crazy. He's gonna turn into Sam Neill in the third movie.
Please stay.
All right. Oh, but the other like little. This is a more of a minor note that I was when I was watching this. I was like, you know, this would have been way more interesting if they had done it a different way. When she gives birth to her evil twins, and she's like, oh, I just let me hold them. I'm their mother. I think it would be really nice. Most of the women I know are like very strong and badass women. I think it'd be very nice if you knew you were bringing pure evil into the world, like you should kill it. Like, why are they suddenly like, no, let me, if I love it, it won't be evil. If I just love it enough.
No, she was trying to get it into her hands so she could stab it. She just couldn't do it.
Oh, was she trying to kill it?
I don't know if she was trying to kill it. She was definitely trying to kill it.
She took the other one. She took the other one, right, to raise. I was like, you can't love the evil out of somebody. Like,
well, that one's not the Antichrist because it's a girl.
Yeah.
I thought that was dumb too. Because if anything, you could get away with way more because people are like, oh, she's a girl. She can't do that. Like, if I'm going to bring about evil and destruction, you should go with like the least assuming version of evil, right?
Well, I think that, you know, if we're going to dive that deep into it, but I think more of it's a money thing, and that they're now that we have this second timeline going with this girl, so now we can do another set of trilogy films about the girl, which is happening at the same time as Damien. So
I think that is what they were trying to do. But yeah, I just, while I was watching it, that was my thought that I had.
They should do that because, like, there's a woman that Sam Neill plays Damien in the third Omen film in that series.
President?
He starts to. I don't think he actually becomes president by the end, right. But he develops a relationship with another woman.
It's supposed to be his sister.
And man, it would be fucking awesome if they tied it in to like that was the twin. Oh, that would be so good.
Yeah,
it would be great.
I could see them love, doing that. Baby.
But yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the end of this movie because it is. I love everything in the world, man. Until I even love Gregory Peck's picture, and we're getting the setup for the very very beginning of The Omen. I love all this stuff, and then we cut away, and we have the very last scene of the movie is Margaret. The girl that she what was the problem girl that we
Carlita.
Thought
Carlita,
right? She has Carlita and her daughter, her nameless daughter. They don't name the other twin in the movie, do they? They don't drop her name once.
Not
do
they?
They
don't say her name.
All right, so
gotta come up with a girl name that's as scary as Damien.
They're all in a cabin in some. They don't even name
the
place.
Out in Dexter's cabin. Yeah,
it's out in the snow, and then Father Brenner comes in and he's like, "Yeah, the church is gonna find you. They named your son Damien." Bah. Roll credits. Fucking horrible. Fucking ending. It's just terrible sequel bait. Well,
he was coming to warn them because he loved her, bro. You know, he's like, you know, look, I just want to look after you. I'm worried about you.
And then, I mean, this girl, I mean, she is a twin, right? She's a twin of the Antichrist. Why is this girl, is she evil? Is she not evil?
Wait, who, Carlita or the little girl?
The daughter. Her
daughter.
Twin, yeah.
All of them. They're all evil, yeah.
But Margaret's not evil. We see her not be evil.
We don't know that, though. I mean, if... So then are you saying then that the Antichrist
the
is not evil? Because
okay,
isn't she... She's
not
the
Antichrist. The
Antichrist, because the Antichrist has to mate with itself, right?
Yeah, one of its own.
So she has to be of the Antichrist.
Well, not of the Antichrist. She has to be like, I don't know, like... The movie didn't go into this. I'm glad they didn't, because it probably would have been stupid if they were like, what we did was we spliced some jackal DNA with that of a human in the 70s, and we created children from it, satanic children. No, that would be fucking terrible. That is what
that jackal tied up in the basement over there behind that curtain. He's tied up to the wall somehow, and they're like, you know, sucking jackal sperm out of it and creating...
Is that what they're doing? I mean, something
no,
like that.
That is
I
not
don't
what
know,
they're doing.
Man.
It's something. I mean, it,
but
they
for
don't
some
tell
reason,
you.
You know, instead of just doing the artificial insemination, when they got down to Margaret, they're like, "Ah, go ahead and let him have some fun this time." You know,
it's got to be the real deal, man.
Yeah, no shit. And was that a close up of his penis?
Oh, I don't know if that was a tongue or a dick, man. No idea.
It was curved upwards and it had a point on it. And I was like, "Was that its dick?"
I don't know. I'm not sure what I saw there.
Yeah, yeah. Even both times I was like, I'm not sure what that was.
It is. I feel very sorry for the filmmaker, though, because it does seem like a producer note. The very last scene of the movie is just like, oh, you know, we got to make sure we're making another one of these, right? You know,
we got to tie this in. Yeah,
we got to let the franchise grow.
But, you know, if that's the only hokey thing in the whole thing, really, you know, that's fine, man.
Yeah.
This movie is way better than it deserves to be, Brian. Yeah. It just, especially, it does not suffer from sequel syndrome at all. It is very entertaining, and I think it serves the original more than it hurts it, which is why it's so great.
Yeah, it just sucks when you don't stick the goddamn landing. The last scene I walk out of the fucking movie theater is the worst fucking scene in the whole movie. God, it's just
yeah, but they have bad balls though, bro. They have balls to fucking have that moment where before she you know, she's like they're trying to rush her to a hospital or whatever, and they get into a car crash, and then she steps out of the car and she has this like writhing moment where even as the audience you're like, hey, are they taking this a little too far? But then you're like, oh no, this is great, you know, like holy shit, what's happening right here? And it makes you like question yourself, you know, and you're like, what the fuck? And you're just like, holy shit, this is fucking excellent. And then she fucking falls to her knees and all that like milky blood starts pouring out of her. And she just grows the belly. It's so fucking great.
That actress really did sell that. What is her name? Yeah. I'm not familiar with her. Who played Margaret?
She's got a really interesting name. It's Nell Tiger Free.
Wait, no way. I gotta look this up. That can't be the that's not somebody's
She's in
real
the name. M. Night Shyamalan show, The Servant. Oh no, it's just called Servant. It's pretty great.
You're right.
It also deals with demonic babies.
Were her parents like animal activists, you think?
They'd have to be.
I don't know, man, but she's got this really interesting look. Wow. And she plays stressed out so well.
Oh,
you know,
she's just British? She's from England.
It's a very British name.
Is it?
No.
All my tigers.
I thought
are
she
free.
Would have been like from California and grew up like in a what are those called? A commune.
Yeah, I could see that. My brother's name was Bob Beerfree.
Oh wow, her Wikipedia page is completely empty.
She did a really really good job. I was impressed with her.
Yeah, she was really great.
What do you think about those shots of her where they cut to her and she's in bed, and we're in these like overhead shots, and they've like arranged her hair where it looks like roots of a tree, or
all
these like very planned, you know, like created shots.
It's beautiful.
It wouldn't fall that. And then also there, that's really interesting. Like there's all this like things radiating out from her head, but then there's also lots of teeth imagery. The first time we meet the crazy Sister Angelica in the stairwell, like the edges of the stairwell have these like little jagged teeth, like it's holding her in her mouth, and she's like hugging the wall. Looks like she's like in the mouth of a beast. And then after, like, what's the scene right before she goes in and she's like praying at the altar, and we do that dolly back, and it reveals the candle mouth and the two like sconces hanging from the ceiling.
It's like after she's told like she can't be a nun anymore, or she's got
to
take a break.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we need to like, you know,
postpone
it. We need to separate you from Carlita and all that. Yeah,
words.
That fucking shot. I hate that they use some promotional photos of that, because it's kind of like Brian said, seeing the trailer of the lady like setting herself on fire kind of like ruins the moment. It's so fucking awesome. You know the shot I'm talking about, Kristen, when like Dolly's back and you see the candles? It's so fucking cool.
It's gorgeous. There's so much. The imagery in this is absolutely stunning, like in every scene.
Yeah, the candle shot's great, because it looks almost like they're daggers, you know? And then when you pull back, and then you get the bottom row, and then it's like, oh no, those are teeth.
Fucking teeth.
And then the payoff, it's like the drawing on the floor that she finds in, what's her name, Claudia? Or I can't remember this girl's
name.
In
the bad room.
The bad room.
Sister, why is there a bad room?
Why are you crazy bitches here? Girls. I mean, what are you guys doing?
And I love how they've got all the little bitty girls there, and then she turns back and looks at them all, and she goes, because there are bad girls. Like, she's using this as a teaching moment.
Behave or else.
That's right. You get thrown into the fucking bad room. It's not meant to be pleasant.
Holy shit.
Why is that one girl always kissing on Margaret, and then even like Carlita like licks her on the face? Lots of kissing and licking and just...
Oh, well, you know, I think those are great, because like right before she would receive a kiss, it felt like they could punch her in the face or something, like,
yes.
Or like there was going to be a dagger or something violent.
Yeah, it's like in The Godfather, you know, it's like, we could build this moment up and I'm going to kiss you.
Maybe it's an Italian thing.
You broke
my
fucking heart.
That's what Italians do.
The Italian kisses you. You should be very careful.
Oh yeah, even her roommate comes up and gives her the little bees, like kiss on both sides. You know, she's like, oh, you know, not used to so much touching.
It is actually very strange. Yeah.
You know, the roommate caught me off guard. I was not expecting her to be on it. I loved her character so much. I thought she was like such a good character. You know, I was like, oh, you know, she's good for Margaret, getting Margaret a little bit out of her shell, helping her see the city. Oh, man, she's so, and then she was an evil fucking,
she fucking stabs
fucking
her.
Satan,
she's the one that like catches her. Yeah.
Hurt me so bad. I was like, no, I like her. She's no. Also, the boyfriend was good, too. Or not the boyfriend, Paolo. Whatever. Yeah.
Oh, Paolo. The poor bastard. She ripped him in half.
Oh, that was good.
Why did that truck driver drive so fast into a wall? If he was driving down that street, no matter what, you know, and you see that you're coming down to a dead end, like a T, what the fuck, man? Like, what was that?
Jared, have you not seen Final Destination? Satan possessed the car.
Did his brakes go out?
Yeah.
So Satan cut the brakes?
Yeah. That's what happened to David Warner. The same thing. You know, he got hit by the car, only it was carrying, you know, glass that also lopped his head off.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
So that,
okay, well, I just tied that in, that it was a vehicular homicide. Did tie it in.
Yeah, all the murders are callbacks from the first film.
She's pretty strong to be holding that dude's torso so easily like that.
Well, you know, his guts were probably coming out, Jared. It was probably just a rib cage and a skull, you know.
Also, she
was holding him. They were dancing.
Keep forgetting that she's also
they were cheek to cheek
of the devil.
She's got devil strength, demonic
strength. Oh, so she instantly gets devil strength. Yeah,
yeah.
That's where she can rip his body in half.
She just doesn't realize it. It's not really highlighted, though, because she thinks it's normal.
Oh, so. That's what Madam Web was about. Thank you, Kristen. I don't have to see it now.
I love the little things with that guy, like in their little relationship. He was talking about like how he was watching a movie with his mom, and he loves Barbara Streisand and all that. And then as he's dying, he's like, I need to call my mom. You know, I was like, fuck, I love it so much.
I think that's also an Italian thing, though.
Oh, they love their mama.
Who doesn't love their mama? Come on. Oh, and the photography. Do we talk about the eye light at all?
Oh, you're talking about the particular scene that you're mentioning is when the one of the creepy nuns comes up and tells Margaret that that the sister wants to see her in her office, and that's right before she gets told that she's going to be, you know, needs to be separated from Carlita and all that. But they've got this like they've got these they're always carrying these little oil lamps, and they've got these oil lamp sconces on the walls. And so instead of like a standard catch light, which is like a dot in the eye, like they'd have these like vertical, just an edge of the eye.
It was beautiful. So cool.
It's cool.
It makes the eye the person's eye look reptilian, but instead of being in the center, it's just off to, the,
off
side,
to the side,
which makes it. Man, I don't know why, but it makes it more disturbing.
It feels unnatural.
Yeah.
Yeah. God. And that girl's, and in that close up where you see that really prominently, her eyes are so dilated.
Oh, yeah.
So it lets you know they're shooting at such low light levels. They may be even doing it, that may have actually been the sconces that were doing that, or one of those, like I said, one of those oil lamps.
Do you think it was actually one of the oil lamps? I mean, it was so.
I think so.
So like, perfect.
Even on the second time I watched it, I was thinking that. I was looking at it really hard. I was like, it's so beautiful. It's so fast. When I get it on Blu-ray, I will pause it and stare at that frame for a while.
Oh, yeah, they did a good job. And, costume note, Bill Nighy was dressed by the Vatican tailor.
Oh.
Only him for some reason. I guess that was, like, part of his contract or something.
He fits. He fits the role. He's perfect in that role.
I thought the costumes were absolutely stunning, all of them, even like down to the protesters, like, and of course all of the Catholic robes and everything that they have, even her like fake wedding gown was really cool.
Oh, that was cool. It's also, again, also weird. Not what you would think of a wedding dress. You know,
not a traditional wedding dress, but it was still really pretty.
Oof, very disturbing.
I liked it. But I also really loved the all of the veils and the different habits and everything. And I especially liked it because they didn't feel costumey at all. And I feel like so many times when you take Catholic imagery and you put it on an actor, it
feels like a costume, right?
Yeah, yeah. But with this, like those could have been nuns. Like this could have been set at a convent and/slash orphanage, and like they were real nuns in the background, probably not, but.
They talked about like when you become a nun, you're like taking the veil, but yes. The movie opens up with like a woman getting a black veil, taking the black veil over her face with a rope tied around her neck. And then like she's breathing in this like very skull like appearance through the veil. It's so fucking creepy.
Really,
and I've never
cool.
seen that before. And it was like, wow, the imagery of that. And then when that comes back later, you're just like, holy shit. Man.
Yeah, I thought that was amazing.
It hits so hard.
I did think that was a nice surprise. When you get to that moment at the end of the movie, you're like, oh my God, the opening was
her being, yeah.
Oh my God, this is all crazy. And like that night, it's a nice reveal. Cause like the entire time, you know, Margaret is going to be the girl.
It has to be, right?
That's going
to
have. Yeah. You know it like the whole time that the Claudia girl's like just a red herring or something. And it's got to be her. It's
Carlita.
Yeah, Carlita. Sorry. I'm never going to remember that other character's name. Whatever. Suspected Damien Dose. I don't know. You know, when you get to that moment, it's like, okay, I know where we're going. But then they're also like, oh, because you think she's going to get like raped by the devil right then and there. And then it's revealed like, oh, no, that shit's already happened. You're already pregnant. That was so good. So good. Oh, loved it. Then you get the flashback. Do you think that with the Pablo guy, was he always in on this thing, because you see him at the seance, or did they get him drunk and bring him along? Because he's also worried.
Yeah, so if he was in on it, why was he with her anyways? Or they were set up to give her a good time or whatever, I guess.
I think he was just a pawn and he just kind of played into it exactly. Because there's some point, though, where he apologizes profusely.
He's like, I'm sorry, I didn't know you had the mark. You know, he's like, you know, check the mark.
Yeah, I feel like that night, like the night they first met, someone just came up to him and was like, yo, like, this is what's going to happen now. And he just went along with it.
Yeah, he just didn't realize he was going to go so far.
Right.
And he got freaked out, I guess.
I mean, I would, too.
That would freak anybody out.
Yeah.
Man, these priests are getting dogs and jackals to have sex with women in the basement. This is weird.
Wait. Do you think that the night that she went partying and blacked out was the night that she was raped?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I just put that together. All right, because well, they show it at the beginning. Now, was that her at the beginning or was that a previous girl?
Nope, that's her.
So that was just a foreshadowing scene.
I think you're made to think that it was a previous girl, but
yeah, you're made like when you're watching it the first time.
Her face doesn't look the same because they show a girl from like the nose. It doesn't look like her.
Oh well, maybe it is a different girl. Maybe that's her mother.
Could be.
You know, but
no,
I assumed
it was her mother.
Well, they've tried this 13 times.
Oh, if it was, it can't be her mother. If it was her mother, then she would already be like incested enough properly, and she wouldn't have to have the other kid.
No. You'd need one woman to have sex with the devil and have a baby, and that would be a devil spawn, which would be Margaret, and then Margaret would have to have sex with the devil to make the Antichrist.
Oh, it's a three generation thing?
Well, I mean, no, you just so like if the devil's having sex with a woman, that's not incest, demonic incest. So like you need like it has to mate with its own, is what they said, which was, I don't know, that was kind of
all right.
Make this more complicated.
You've thought about it more than I have, so it's okay.
Well, they just dropped that line out in the middle of the movie, and like to be honest, it was in that priest like awesome room, and I kind of got distracted by like the lamp and the table in the background. I was looking at that.
Oh, look at that! And wait, what did he say? Wait, what? Who we fucking?
No. Did he just say devil on devil is how you get Antichrist?
Yeah.
Let's back up here.
A double devil on you. Yeah, you got to do that.
You know, I think that's most of my notes outside of budget stuff.
What you got for the budge?
It's reported at $30 million.
Damn.
I did see that was after tax incentives, so I don't know how much it actually cost. But yeah, it's so far. What is it? It's on its third weekend now. It's made 17.7 in the U.S. It's made 45 million worldwide. So we're probably not going to get some sequels unless it picks up overseas.
I don't know, man. I think that they were planning originally just to release this on streaming, and then they decided to do a push after doing screenings. So I don't know, dude. I think it's doing way better than they were expecting.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. All right. Look, I will watch another one. I'm here for it.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
I definitely got one more in me. And, you know, it kind of sucks because, like, this has been a very horror-heavy year, you know? We had Night Swim and Imaginary Immaculate, you know, is already out. That Abigail movie opened this weekend.
Got to go see that.
There's the giant spider movie Sting. What was the other one that's been doing? It's been getting a lot of good buzz. Late Night with the Devil.
Yeah, I need to see that one too.
So they're just pumping out horror movies left and right.
Yeah, there's another one coming out too. The trailer was before this one. It was like something legs.
Oh, what was it called? Long Legs.
Long Legs. That looks fucking great.
Yeah.
Yes. Very excited for that one.
Yeah, you know, I like all these horror films, you know, coming out. I just hope there's enough room for everybody to go see them and they could all make money properly. We're not like marvelizing horror films.
Hey, if they do, Michael start liking them.
No, he won't. Because where is he tonight, Jared? Where is Mike?
He just couldn't bring himself to watch it. It's okay. We'll get him there.
The power of Christ compels you, man. Yeah, I don't have anything else. Anybody got anything else? Well, it's all for you. Let's rate this thing. Who's rating?
Set the tone, Brian. I think you should.
Oh, well, this is easy. I'm going to give this a 9.75. All right?
Damn.
I'm taking off a little quarter just for that last scene at the end. And I left the theater, and it kind of kind of messed up my mojo walking out a little bit. I was like, oh man, I loved everything until this end, and you motherfuckers made me fucking. This is what I got to fucking think about. This is the feels I left with. And I stayed and watched the whole credits to try to soak up the music, and that did help. And the score drops at the end, like they, oh man, they were holding all the, they hold all the Omen music until the Antichrist is born, and then they just fucking drop it hard. You get the, I forget what the fucking name of that song is. Whatever, Ave Santa or something like that.
Oh, bunch of Latin choir shit.
Oh, so fucking awesome. Oh, it comes in, and oh, if we just left like you know there or like with Thorn, oh man. I would have been great. I just would have been,
Oh, with just the jackal, like, fucking on fire.
Oh, yeah. That would have been so cool.
Just fucking credits.
Yeah. Let's do it, baby. Yeah, this is really strong. This is the exact, like, all the problems I had with the last Exorcist movie. I forget what that was even called. What was it called? Deceiver? Believer?
Believer.
God, that thing was a piece of shit. And this is how you do like a legacy sequel, you know? Like you're bringing new things into the franchise. I like seeing the Christian imagery mixed in with my demonic imagery and still being able to be creeped out about it. And when it needs to be a moment of savior, you know, like we're getting that, you know? We're getting the hope when we need it, and we're getting terror other times. Yeah, all the rituals, the birthing scenes, all this stuff is fucking awesome. Maybe having a female director not sexualizing women is one of the best things that's happened to horror in a very long time. Like just seeing a childbirth scene, the childbirth scene is the first one we see is extremely interesting too, because that's also from Margaret's like point of view. We're with her as she's watching this, and she's never seen this before. All these perspectives, just very, very interesting. Yeah, I, you know what? Fuck it. Fuck it. I'll give it a 10. You know, it.
Oh,
the scene at the end. You know, it's bad, but there's just so much good here. It's so well thought out. So beautiful. You know, it's better than it has any right to fucking be. And exactly. You know, it's nice to see a director have some passion and some love. You know, and it just infects you, the audience member, and you want to watch it. That's a good thing. All right, 10. I'm going to go with 10. Who's going next?
You talked yourself up, man.
I did.
But I agree. It's so hard, especially in the horror-like genre, to have a sequel that comes out strong. Like, a lot of times, sequels, like, just think of, like, fucking, like, in most of these fucking Nightmare on Elm Street, like, sequels. A lot of times, yeah, they just get to the point where they're just campy, where it's more of like, okay, we're going in just for the fun of the kill, and it needs to be a little, you know, it's more entertaining, and also we got to keep the franchise going so we don't lose the copyright on it and all that kind of shit. and especially when you have such a long time go between something. So a lot of times it is like, hey, we need to get one of these out so we retain our franchise rights. But this one came out fucking swinging, man. Like I said, they opened so fucking strong. And they finish fairly strong. You know, we got a little bit of like franchise service, which makes it ends on a note, you know. It's so fucking entertaining. It's creepy. It's scary. I love like fucked up religious horror stuff, man. It delivers on every fucking thing that you want. I was going to give it a 9.5, but since you went 10, I'm going to give it a 10 too, because I've been telling, it's one of these things. We're having one of these years where every single fucking film we're talking about, I'm like, I'm telling everybody, you got to see this one. Holy shit. Have you seen this fucking movie? It just keeps getting better and better and better. Man, I feel like you're right. We're getting a little bit oversaturated with horror right now, but I think all of them have been pretty fucking solid. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's keep it going, man. But yeah, very, very, very happy with this one. And I would be excited for another one.
All right. Ready for the seventh Omen movie, or the second prequel of the...
Well, it's like the first-ish Omen, you know.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be the sixth again. I don't know. This is the sixth if you count the remake, but I don't know.
But this one's still connected to the first one, so it's still in that canon.
Yeah. So I guess really this would be the fourth one, because the fourth Omen movie is actually like about a different little girl. Like, it's a second Antichrist. So, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, Kristen, what say ye?
I think this movie is really great, with the exception, like I said before, of a couple notes on writing. I think the script could have been just a touch better. And I can say that because the rest of the movie is so absolutely amazing. If it wasn't, I would have been like, yeah, this is fine. But I really think they could have just done another pass on the script. That being said, everything else in this movie is outstanding. There's so much care and attention to detail here. Everything looks amazing. The imagery alone is brilliant. And I actually think some of the scenes are beautiful and moving, and then some of the other ones are very creepy and scary, and it just strikes the right note when you need it. It's kind of incredible. This was actually the first time I watched a horror movie and thought it was fun.
What? The first time?
Yeah, because I don't really like horror movies. Come on. But I actually really liked this one. But yeah, so I'm going to give it a 9.5 because I did really absolutely love it. Minus a couple of moments.
Minus the church being involved.
You know. Actually, this is one of the first times that I've seen the Catholic Church in a horror movie where I'm like, no, that's kind of cool. I feel like you did a good job there for the most part. I feel like you did a really good job because normally people just like to use the Catholic Church as like a prop, as like a pretty thing or a creepy thing in the background. Yeah. I was saying earlier, I mean, I did not look up anyone's religion, but it actually felt like someone who was Catholic did actually put a lot of time and thought and care and effort into this. And you can tell, I can tell, it's kind of amazing. I loved actually the church being there. Yes.
Which saint's the one, they cross a saint statue as soon as she's taken her first tour around the orphanage. Mm-hmm. And there's a saint statue that has all these like spears or sticks sticking out of it.
Oh.
And they walk right past it and it's so fucking creepy. Like Catholic statues of saints
normal.
Are fucking creepy.
I forget which one it is. I should know this. I actually should know this. it's normal. He was martyred.
Obviously, stabbed to death like 30 times.
But yeah, it's just, you know, a reminder. I actually don't know if this is, but it's just a reminder that, like, you know, look what he did. You can do this too. It's all for God, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It can't be that whatever you're going through is not that bad, you know, suck it up.
Well, even the sister says, she's like, you know, everything we do is in the name of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you know, sometimes you need to be punished, but it is for God.
Whatever, that woman was so happy holding that goddamn Antichrist, man. Did you see that? That's the first time that fucking nun smiled the whole fucking movie.
Dude, she's been working. Like, how many years did it take to go through 13 different women to get to this point?
Yeah. She's like, oh my God, it's finally here.
Finally, I can die.
The whole world's demise is here.
Yay.
It's like a cute nuclear weapon.
But it actually, okay, so to their credit, yeah, it is like a little nuclear weapon. But to their credit, they believe in themselves and their organization so much that they don't care that they've created the Antichrist. I mean, that's an interesting thought.
I did think it was a ballsy, too. Like, the church kind of, like, they backed this movie a little bit, and they're
like, hey, look, this is a good idea, right?
They're the villains. And then, like, there's this other sect of church that's going to give this woman an abortion.
That,
like,
tracks. Listen,
oh, I thought that was ballsy as fuck. I was like, oh, man, all right.
Okay. Frequently frightening, even as it plays within the confines of a nearly 50-year-old film series, this prequel, The First Omen of a Bright Future. Wait. This prequel is the first omen of a bright future for the franchise in quite some time. Rotten Tomatoes brings in The First Omen with an 81% tomato meter and a 70% audience score, which is kind of fucked up, people. Come on.
Why didn't the audience like it?
I have no clue. Oh. Let's see what the audience says. The First Omen has a plenty of spooky atmosphere and some great performances, although if you aren't in the mood for a slow burn, the pace might be a deal breaker.
Slow burn?
Oh. Slow burn my ass.
Go fuck yourself.
People's, like, you know, the iPad fucking generation, the kids who grew up on iPads, they just don't have a
this
fucking attention
span. This was not slow, though. I was like, fuck, I must have jumped in this movie like fucking five or six times.
This is slow in the same way that the movie we watched last week was slow, like...
No, this was way quicker than that. Like, when this movie was done and I realized it was 2 hours long, I was like, holy shit, I thought I could have sworn that was 90 minutes. Could have fucking sworn.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think that it was long or slow, but I can see how people would. Yes, if you don't have your, if you don't have something to distract you, you would get distracted. You know, like they're looking for something to grab their attention all the time.
Well, that's what the jump scares are for. Yeah, but for real. I appreciated all the time that we got a chance to like live with her.
I did too.
Before we started really getting the ball rolling.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah,
I thought all that was really
great. Because the director's great. And the director of photography, they're just doing so much awesome stuff with the camera and the blocking. And, like, I mean, there's just so much to look at, you know? And the camera's always moving. It's not like you can it's not like Zone of Interest or, you know, Anatomy of a Fall. This is like Hollywood and, like, you know, they're moving that thing. So much to look at all the time. I don't know. Our phones are fucking us up.
Yep.
Anyone got anything else?
Nah, man.
I mean, I don't know how to pronounce this director's name, but I feel like it's Arkasha Stevenson?
Akasha
Stevenson? Yeah, I have no idea how to pronounce her first name. But, I mean, yeah, I feel bad for not saying it because she did a fucking fantastic job. So with that, you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to the Movie Crew Podcast. To moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at moviecrewpod. Jared, where can the audience find you?
You can find me on Instagram at checkthegate.
And Kristen, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Kristen Magdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Elkins Edits. And we're going to close out the show tonight with the Ave Sante remix, and this is from composer Mark Coven. Of course, Jerry Goldsmith did the original score. Enjoy. Zombies, anymore.